You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Is God deaf? Many people wonder about that. Some of them actually think he is.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, in your own way and in your own good time, give us what we need to support this body and life. We pray to you today that you will show us your grace, your wisdom, your forgiveness, your life. Give us confidence in you that keeps us praying and listening for your voice, waiting on your answer, and looking for your love in Christ our Savior. Amen. Many husbands are deaf. At least their wives think so. Some of those men may really be a little hard of hearing, but most of them just don't listen. They tune out the things they don't want to hear. They can hear well enough when they want to hear. Is God deaf? Many people wonder about that. Some of them actually think he is. Indeed, they go so far as to say that he doesn't exist at all. How could he be anything else but deaf? Others reverence God a great deal, but they don't seem to get any answer to their prayers. A young pastor was telling me about his regular visits to a woman racked with arthritis. She lay on the bed in pain, her twisted body becoming more distorted all the time as the months went by. The pastor prayed with her, and he himself wondered why those prayers never seemed to be heard, either with recovery of health or with death. Didn't God know that this woman was pleading with him? What would he say if she asked him someday, "Is God deaf?" This woman, a very intelligent person, never asked that question. She didn't have to. She knew the answer. For her, the answer was no, God is not deaf. For a lot of people, the question is still very much alive. They haven't answered, "Yes, God is deaf," and they haven't said, "No, God is not deaf." They're torn between faith and unbelief. The same question must have run through the mind of that woman who came to Jesus that day when he visited Tyre and tried to remain incognito. He tried to keep it a secret that he was there, but he couldn't. As usual, the news of his arrival spread fast. This woman spotted him. We do not know her name or very much about her. Right away she came to him because her little girl was possessed by a demon. She fell at his feet and pleaded with him to release her child from the demon's control. She was not a church member. She did not even belong to the kind of people who went to church. She just had a burden, a weight on her heart. It was her little girl, once so full of life, gay, vivacious, but now acting very strangely, in a way that was not just out of character, but positively frightening. Nobody could do anything about it. They tried. With incantations, strange rituals, elaborate rites, but nothing helped. The mother was at the end of her rope, at the edge of despair. What could she do? Did she have to stand by and watch helplessly as that unclean spirit completely destroyed her daughter? She could not. She would not. Jesus came. Jesus was a man. He was also God. She headed toward him and fell at his feet. She said, "Please do something, anything, but do something." He told her, "My first duty is toward my own family, the people from whom I came, the ones to whom I was first sent. It isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She replied, "That's true, sir. But even the puppies under the table are given some scraps from the children's plates." It is just like a woman to talk like that. It strikes me that the authenticity of the Bible is confirmed by the fact that people talked just as people do. Here's a woman who just can't be put off. A man could be put off, maybe, but not a woman. Matthew tells us that Jesus' men were turned off by the insistence of this woman. "Send her away," they said. "She's embarrassing us with her constant insistence." It was all right with them that God should be deaf. It was not all right with the one whom God sent to be the Savior of the world. He replied, "That's good. That a woman should say, 'Puppies eat even the crumbs that fall beneath the children's table.' That rings a bell, because that's life. That is also God, and he's not deaf." "That's good," said Jesus Christ. "You've answered well. So well that I've healed your little girl. Go on home, for the demon has left her." When she arrived home, her little girl was lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. For a while there, it looked as if Jesus was deaf as his disciples. He seemed callous, unconcerned, uninterested in giving help. His first answer seemed almost cruel, even to someone like myself who reveres him as the Son of God and Savior of the world. If it seemed cruel to the woman, she never showed it. She had the problem, and she was sure he had the answer. The answer was Jesus Christ. He was the only one who could help. There's one time when only God will do, and she's going to get to God. That's faith. Not for a moment did she believe that God was deaf, and he heard. His men told us about this incident because they learned a lot from it. They got the idea, too. God is not deaf. His first answer may not be exactly what you're looking for, but he's still God. He still hears. He does not tune you out. He listens and he acts in his own good time. God does things in his own way, but he acts. He hears and he answers. The answer may not be exactly the one you're looking for right now, but he answers. It takes faith to know God in that way. But that's the way he is. Sometimes I wish he were otherwise. Maybe you do too. You wish he would answer your prayer right now in the way in which you want it answered. If he doesn't, as very often he doesn't, you are exasperated and your exasperation comes out in that very understandable question, is God deaf? Doesn't he listen at all? Doesn't he care? Is it worthwhile to pray to him at all? Yes, it is worthwhile. The woman of Tyre will tell you it is worthwhile. It's worthwhile to stay with it, to keep on praying, to insist upon an answer. His answer, whatever it is going to be his answer. When you look at Jesus, you see God. That's the great thing about him. You see God's love in Jesus Christ. God didn't have to send Jesus Christ. But he did. Out of pure love, Jesus Christ came. It isn't so much that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be a substitutionary sacrifice for our sins. His Son was on his way to atone for our sins, and yet he had time for a woman whom his men wanted to send away. That's God, and that's the way he is. That's how his love shows itself. Now, why did Jesus Christ delay his answer? To tell you the truth, I don't exactly know. I do know this. His delay drew from this woman a magnificent expression of faith in the most human terms you could possibly imagine. It was not play acting. It was action. Acted as God acts. This is the way God does things. This is the way he treats me. It's the way he treats you. That action of his, which made you ask, is God deaf? Or if you didn't ask the question in that way, made you wonder whether he really is deaf, calls upon you to come out with the thing he's most looking for, your faith. He wants faith. In that faith, you will be saved. The Bible keeps telling us that we don't have to justify ourselves. We can't justify ourselves. All of us are justified, that is, put right with God, experiencing His love and favor, when we have faith in Him. We are not justified because we believe, but because we believe in Him. It's the reason He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, that people might believe in Him. Of Jesus Christ, St. Paul said, "Be it known to you, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. By Him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Christ's man John said, "This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." His men found it out for themselves. It's true. Jesus is the Son of God. He did die for the sins of the world. He has been raised from the dead, and He is alive. He is Lord. They believed, and in that faith were saved from themselves, from the way of this dying world, for the life that is truly eternal. They were saved to love, as people love who have come to know God as He is, a God of love. The woman of Tyre found it out for herself that day, in the hard way. You have to find it out for yourself, too. It won't work just to observe somebody else. Somebody else can be a witness to you, but you have to find it out for yourself, maybe in the hard way. Most of us have to find out sooner or later about God, and often in the hard way. We find out that He does pass judgment upon the world and upon each of us. The great thing is to find out that He loves, with all the delays and all the seeming deafness to your prayers. He loves. That you have to find out for yourself. St. Paul had to find it out for himself. For years he traveled the highways and byways of the Roman Empire with one purpose: to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing could stop him. He went his way undaunted. He was shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, attacked by robbers, followed by spies, threatened, run out of town, jailed, and nearly murdered several times. With all of that, he had one continuing prayer for himself, one thing that kept bothering him. He called it a thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. "Many times," he said, "I begged the Lord to rid me of it." No one would have blamed Paul for asking, "Is God deaf? Why does God do things that way?" Eventually, Paul explained, he found out for himself why God does things that way. He got an answer from God himself. "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." The grace of God responds to human need. In need, people come to know God. In need, they come to have confidence in God. In need, they get help from God. He loves because He is God. Sometimes life hurts terribly. It gets lonely. We become afraid. Your love is burned. Your son leaves and does not return. Anger burns on the inside and you're eaten away from the outside. The doctor tells you you have cancer. Someone you love dies in an automobile accident. There's no end to the list. And you ask, why? Why doesn't God understand? Is God deaf? I don't blame you for asking that question. I've asked it on occasion myself. I had to find it out for myself, as did the woman of Tyre, that He is God, and the only way is to have confidence in Him. He loves as He loved that day when His Son said on His cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He is always God, as He was that day. And He will never stop being God. I see that in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Couldn't God have saved him before he died? Couldn't he have done something for him at that moment to save him from the shame of it all? He could, but he didn't. He gave his son to be a sacrifice for our sins. And he raised that son from the dead and declared him to be the Son of God with power. Why does he do things that way? Because he's God, and he will never stop being God. Is God deaf? No, God is not deaf. He hears quite well. He hears and he gives more than you can ever ask or think. Why, one day, as you put your confidence in him, he will raise you from the dead. But what about right now? He's the God of the living, he is. He wants you to live by faith in him. He calls upon you to live with faith in him. He's looking to you for response, something like that of Paul. I prefer to find my joy and pride in the very things that are my weakness, and then the power of Christ will come and rest upon me. Hence, I'm well content for Christ's sake with weakness, contempt, persecution, hardship, and frustration. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. That's the way God does things, for you and for me, in his own practical, godlike way. Ask God, my friend, to forgive you. He will. Ask God for life. He will give it to you. Ask him for life as only he can give it. He will give it to you. Trust God. Don't worry. Love one another. Heal with your tongue and with your acts. Serve, help, teach. Witness to his goodness and have faith in him. He is God. Remember, he is God. Amen.